That's the heart, your heart's desire, to love the Lord and to serve him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That should be the desire of every believer. And that's what God wants to do in your life. I tried to find something else I could do this morning. Pastor wanted me to work the nursery too, but I told him I was too busy to do that. All right. Aren't you glad the Lord's in control? I mean, he knows what's going on. He knows what needs to happen. We're just going to be all right, aren't we? Psalm 139 this morning. Psalm 139. Someone is sitting near you, doesn't have a Bible. Let me encourage you to share it with them. This is the most important thing we have, folks, is the Word of God. And you need to bring it with you. We can read it together, study it. I want you to be able to see it, not just hear it. Hopefully you remember it better as you see it and hear it. Okay? Psalm 139. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your Word, and I pray that as we take time now to examine the Word of God, that you would just open up our hearts. Lord, as I think of each person sitting here this morning, I realize that every person here has a spiritual need, including myself. And Lord, we need the Word of God to minister to our hearts and to help us and to do a work that we might be helped from heaven. So we're just asking you now to take our minds and get our minds off all the things around us, all the problems, all the things going on in our lives, and help us just for a short time now to focus on the Word of God. And I pray that you would help me to say the things you'd want me to say, that we'd be helped from heaven, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, I heard about a young man at Bob Jones University, where I went to college, who was very concerned about knowing the will of God for his life. In fact, some of you heard this story, but he was very concerned specifically about who he was going to date, which is something you ought to be concerned about, by the way. And so he came up with a wonderful method of determining the will of God. Now, I don't know if they still have them today. They probably don't. But in my day, back a long, long time ago, they had these gumball machines in the lobby, and they had different colors of gumball in them. And so here was his great plan to know the will of God. He would say, all right, Lord, if you want me to date this girl, give me a yellow gumball. Now, I don't know how the boy ended up, you know. Don't know where he is today. Don't know who he married or what it's like. But obviously, though he desired to know the will of God, he went about it in a totally wrong way. Now, if you're a believer here today, if you're a child of God, your great desire in your life should be to know the will of God, to know what God wants you to do. And I am afraid that all too often we go about it in a totally wrong way. And so we have believers who are out muddling over here and just kind of muddling along and just, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm just going to. Some believers say, I'm not sure what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do nothing. I guarantee you that's not what God wants you to do. So this morning, I want to take some time and talk about how you can know the will of God for your life. This sermon will probably, now that you've heard what I'm going to talk about, it's probably not going to be what you think, okay? You say, I've heard this before. Well, probably not this way. Okay? How can you know the will of God for your life? How can you be in the center of God's will? Well, number one, I think it's important we realize the presence of God's will. God does have a will for your life. You're in Psalm 139. Notice verse 15. It says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You say, what in the world is he saying? Here's what he's saying. When you were in your mother's womb, before you were even thought of maybe by your parents, God had a specific plan for your life. And He formed you and made you so that you would fit perfectly into that plan. You say, that's not enough. Let me give you another one. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are up to him. Now, if your Bible says that, you've got the wrong Bible, okay? That's the Seaman Revised Version. It's not good, okay? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, look, folks, if God has a desire for your steps, He's got a desire for your a will for your life. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or understand what is that good and acceptable and perfect, help me out, will of God. God has a perfect plan for your life. Turn to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Turn there quickly. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. And it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Let me give you one more. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2 says, Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts or ideas of men, but to the will of God. Now look, here at the get-go, folks, you need to realize that God has a plan for your life. God has a specific will for you. We have a bunch of teenagers in the front row. I want you to tell you, Brent, God has a specific will for your life. He does. He does. Do you know what it is? Probably not at this point. But if you'll do what I'm going to tell you to do here in five steps, you'll know. And I won't charge you a penny. All right? Now, how do you know the will of God? Well, obviously not by using gumball machines. Okay? It's not by getting the newspaper and reading your horoscope. Or going to Colonial Heights to that palm reader. I don't know if she's still there or not. Used to be there. Don't tell me if you know, okay? That's a bad sign. It's not left up to our own logic or our own ideas or our own philosophy or our own man's or our own wisdom. Look, folks, God has revealed His will in His Word. You say, where do I start finding the will of God? Right here. Now just think about this. If God has a will for your life, doesn't it make sense? Isn't it logical that there's going to be a way He's going to show you what it is? I mean, what would you think of a parent who has a teenage boy? What would you think of the Sheltons? I see some of the Sheltons back here. Joe's up here in the front row. All right. What would you think of the Sheltons if Joe Sr. comes to his son tomorrow and just beats the fire out of him because he didn't do what he was supposed to do? And Joe would say, but you never told me what I was supposed to do. You should just know. What would you think about a father like that? Now, do you think that God is going to say, okay, I've got a perfect will for your life. Good luck. Hope you find it. Okay? Do your best. Get out there and search for it. How logical is that, folks? God has revealed His will in His Word. Look, you study this book, and you're going to find out who God is. And you're going to find out what God wants you to do. It's right here in this book. By the way, how much time did you spend in the Bible this week? Well, you said it sat on my dash ever since last Sunday. I want to make sure I had it for church, you know? I think most of us as Christians are so immature spiritually because we don't spend any time in the Word of God. You say, I want to know God's will. Hey, it's right here. If you'll read it, if you'll study it, if you'll meditate on it, and I'll help you with that in a minute. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I already mentioned Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as you renew your mind with the word of God, what are you going to learn? What is God going to reveal? He's going to reveal to you the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So first of all, the presence of God's will for your life. Secondly, the priority of knowing God's will. How important is this? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The priority of knowing God's will. How important is it? You say, well, who cares? What does it matter? All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. And he says, redeeming or buying back or using the time wisely because the days are evil, wherefore be ye not. Now, unwise is a nice word. It could also be translated and is usually translated foolish. Now, in my outline, I was doing all S's as my subpoints, and I had the word stupid, but that's really not a very nice word. So you didn't hear it from me, okay? He said, look. He said, don't be unwise or foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. All right, you thinking? If you don't know what God's will is, then Paul is saying you are, don't use the S word there, you are foolish, unwise. Now, really, that's only logical. We have a short life to live. And if we don't use it for God and do His will, then He says, wow, you're just wasting. You're not redeeming the time. You're just wasting your life. So first of all, he said, look, it is a great priority because if you don't know God's will for your life, you're going to be foolish. Secondly, you will only be successful in life as you know the will of God and do it. That's what Joshua 1:8 says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How many want to be a failure? Well, surely there's one person here. Don't scratch your head right now, okay? Nobody wants to be a failure as a Christian. We don't want to waste our life. Do you know what the Word of God says? If you're not meditating and being ruled by this book, you'll never know true success. You'll never know true fulfillment. So, as we look at the priority, first of all, we are foolish if we don't know the will of God. Secondly, success only comes from knowing the will of God. Thirdly, when you know the will of God, folks, you are investing in eternal things. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world passeth away. What's the world? Your house, your car, your job, all the stuff of life that we invest in so heavily. It's all going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth, how long? Forever. Wow. Hey, here's the great news. When you find the will of God and you do it, there's eternal rewards. You're laying up in heaven treasures which cannot rust, treasures which cannot be taken away from you. They cannot be stolen by thieves or robbers. When you do the will of God, folks, you have eternal dividends. Years ago, when I was living at home with my parents, I live at home now with my wife, get that straight there, I had a plaque in my room, and it said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Wow, that makes knowing the will of God pretty important. Let me give you one more. Hebrews chapter 13. Turn there quickly. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13:20. Here's the fourth reason it is crucial that you know the will of God. Here we go. Ephesians 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, now notice, make you perfect or mature in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to him to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, here's the fourth one. Look, you will never be a mature, perfect is the word used here, but a mature believer until you know the word of God and do it. Look, you say, well, how do I know if I'm in the will of God? How do I know if I'm mature in Christ? Are you doing the will of God? Do you know it? Are you doing it? If you're not, you're not mature in Christ. You're a babe in Christ. Okay? Now, he also gives us a great divine example. I mean, think of the life of Christ. Now, let me just give you some verses here real quickly. When Jesus Christ was 12 years old, we have a record of what he said in Luke 2:49. He said, and he saith unto us, this is his parents, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? You come to John 4:34, and Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You go on to John 17:4, and he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Matthew 26:39, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane before the crucifixion, before he is taken captive, and he's praying, and he says, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, this cup of suffering. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And finally, in John chapter 13 or 19, verse 30, there on the cross, Jesus therefore received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. What was finished? Doing the Father's will. Jesus Christ, God himself, was consumed with doing the will of God in his earthly ministry. And in, by the way, in the disciples' prayer there, we call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:10, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. Folks, we need to make the will of God a high priority. A high priority. Let me ask you a question. How concerned are you about the will of God in your life? When was the last time you said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? What is your will for my life? You say, well, I never think about it. Well, I've got news for you. You're not doing the will of God then. If you're not pursuing the will of God, you're not doing the will of God. How can you pursue something or do something you're not pursuing? How can you do something you don't know? Now look, folks, the Word of God says we are foolish if we're not doing the will of God. We're wasting our lives. We know we will not have true success. We are not mature believers. So finally, let's look at the path to God's will. How can you know God's will? What I want to do for the rest of our service this morning is I want to give you passages in the Word of God that tell us specifically this is God's will. Okay? So turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'm going to give you six things. Hang on, we'll move quickly. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Here's the first thing that I know is the will of God for your life. Here it is. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Here you go, ready? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know the will of God for your life? Salvation. Salvation. I can look around this auditorium. We've got between 2,000 to 3,000 people. A lot closer to 2 than 3,000. We've got a good crowd here, probably 500 people. And from the front row to C.J. Buchanan in the front row, all the way back to Tard Harless back there, I know what God's will is for your life. To To be saved. To be saved. Aren't you glad I don't have to say, okay, in the front row here, I think Joe's elect. CJ, sorry, buddy. Sorry about that. Bobby, he looks like he's probably elect. Bob is definitely elect. He's a good golfer. You know, he's got to be elect to play golf. Back, aren't you glad that I can say for every one of us in this building, the will of God is for you to be saved? You may be sitting here this morning and saying, you know, Gary, I'm not sure of heaven. I've been battling with salvation. I just don't know what I ought to do. I know what you ought to do. I know exactly what God's will is for you. Get saved. Trust Christ. Turn from your sin. Place your faith in Christ. Become a child of God. Listen to 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, doesn't say most men, some men, God's desires that all men be saved. That is God's will for your life. If you're here and you're not a child of God, if you're here and you're not sure of heaven, I know God's will for your life. You need to get saved. And by the way, there's no time like today. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ died for you to pay for your sin. If you're not heaven bound, you can be before you leave this service. God's will is for you to be saved. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, the next one. Ephesians chapter 5. Some of you know your chapter content. You already know what I'm going to say. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 16, this is God's will for your life. Here it is. Ephesians 5, we've already read verse 16 and 17. We'll read them again. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Be not drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by alcohol. We're in success, but be filled with the Spirit. I look at you all folks right here. Carol Knox, right over in the front. I know what God's will for your life is. To be Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Spirit-controlled. Every person in this building. You know what God's will for your life is? To be controlled by the Spirit of God. See, this word filled, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us necessarily, but you do know the idea that he gives us, be not drunk with wine. If someone is drunk, they are controlled by the alcohol. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you are controlled by the Spirit of God. God's will for your life is to be Spirit-filled. You say, "Ah, Seaman, I thought you were going to tell me what I should be doing tomorrow. I thought you were going to tell me what God wants me to do for him." I tell you what we need to do is do what God has revealed. See? Here's something God has revealed. This is God's will for your life, to allow the Spirit of God to control you and make you what you ought to be. By the way, how do you know if the Spirit of God is controlling you? Oh, that's easy. You speak in gibberish. Boy, I'm filled with Spirit. Some of these folks teach you how like a dog. I won't try that, okay? I was talking to a preacher yesterday at the wedding, at the reception, and I was talking to him about his church and what they believe and so forth, and talked about they believe in a heavy influence of the Holy Spirit. I thought, well, hey, so do we. And he talked about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and I said, you know, I said, wouldn't it be easier if the Lord said, you know what, when you're filled with the Spirit, you just fall down the ground, and you're slain the Spirit. I could do that. And I could be as wicked as the day long, and I could still do that. And I can have all kinds of wicked thoughts in my mind and do wicked things to everybody, and I could speak in tongues too. But to tell you what I can't do if I'm not filled with the Spirit, I can't have love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Hey, if you're here today, God's will is for your life is to be saved. It's to be Spirit-controlled. Controlled by the Spirit of God. You say, well, Gary, how do I do that? Hey, the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to live in you. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You're baptized into the body of Christ, and the Spirit wants to control your life. And it's interesting, in the parallel passage in Colossians, we've just studied it in our adult Sunday school classes, he says, He says you need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the parallel passages. How do I get filled with the Spirit of God? You get in the word of God, and you let the Spirit of God take the word of God and apply it to your life, and you obey. You say, I hate that person. You're not filled with the Spirit of God. You say, I just can't control my tongue. You're not filled with the Spirit of God. You say, I'm having a terrible relationship over here. You're not filled with the Spirit of God. Folks, look, we all want to know what God's will is for our life. But folks, we need to be saved, first of all. Secondly, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. That is God's will. I'm going to have to hurry. We're going to make this a series, all right? Let's move on to the third one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Quickly, here we go. The faster you turn the pages, the faster you get to eat lunch. So here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Third thing. And boy, what a way. Look at how it starts, verse 3. This is great. For this is the will of God, all right? I mean, he just tells it. Even your, what's the next word? Sanctification. Here's the third thing. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be Spirit-filled. He wants you to be sanctified. What in the world does that mean? Sanctification is simply separation from sin and being held close to Christ. It is holy living. The Word of God says in verse Peter 1, 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Did you realize that when you got saved, you were saved, yes, to go to heaven, but you were saved to become like Christ? We talked about this some in Sunday school. I feel sorry for you folks in my Sunday school class. Have to listen to me twice today. I know it's a burden, but you'll have great reward in heaven. You will. You really will. But here's the process, folks, and it's amazing to me how all these things work together. Here's what happens. As a believer, you're reading the Word of God. And you read a passage, and the Spirit of God says, that's you. And you allow the Spirit of God to control you. You're filled with the Spirit. And it changes your life and you become more like Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 it says, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. That's not original with me, but that's a great saying. That's sanctification. That's the will of God for your life. You say, boy, I really want to know the will of God, but I've got some things in my life that are not right. I've got some unconfessed sin, some habits of sin. Hey, I know the will of God for your life. Be sanctified. Surrender. Put it away from you. Get right with God. So, salvation, Spirit-filled, sanctification. Let me give you another one. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is kind of unique. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I struggled whether I ought to put this one in, but it seems to me it's clearly taught in Scripture. Well, actually, I skipped one, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And the very first word gives us the answer. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Here's the fourth one, folks. What is God's will for the believer's life? To be in submission. Now, in this passage, specifically, he's talking about submission to government. Submission to those cars that have all those lights on the top. You seen those? Yeah, typically you don't want to see them in your rearview mirror with the lights flashing. You don't want to see that. He said you need to be in submission. But you know what? Life is all about relationships. And we've been studying in the book of Colossians, and it talks about a wife being in submission to her husband. You say, I don't want the will of God then, if that's what it means. The will of God is we have submission, women, to your husbands. Husbands, what's the will of God for you? that you submit your desires to meet the needs of your wife. Young people, I know what God's will is for your life.
Obey your parents.
Aren't you glad you're in the front row this morning? What's the obligation? What's the will of God for an employee in the workplace? Submission to the employer. What's the will of God for your life, folks? It is submission. Submission. And it's interesting, I didn't read the whole passage, but notice in verse 14, or unto governors is unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So for this, or so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorant of foolish men. Wow. In our study in Colossians, we've seen that we're either adorning the gospel or we're hindering the gospel. Let me ask you a question. At your workplace, where you're going tomorrow, okay? Is your submission adorning the gospel? What I'm saying is, look, if when people watch your life, do they want what you have? Do they see that you're different? Do they see your submission and say, oh, that guy's got something I don't have? In the home, in the school, wherever you are, folks, we are to be in submission. Number five, hang in there, we got two more. You're already in 1 Peter, look in chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17. Folks, this is the will of God, clearly stated in the Word of God, okay? Don't have to pray about it, don't have to wonder about it. This is God's will for your life. Here it is, verse 17, chapter 3. For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And look in chapter 4 and verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And look in chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Hey, fifthly, folks, the will of God is for a believer to suffer for righteousness. You say, wait a minute, I thought when you got saved, it's all hunky-dory, no problems. Now, here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go to people who are not saved and say, I just want you to know that you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, you've broken God's law, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. Now, how are they going to take that? How is the world going to take it when you go to them and say, you know, what you believe is not right? I will not mention her name, but there's a lady in our church who was conveying to me this morning a work situation that she had to go to these seminars, and really it was really a Buddhist philosophy. Now, she had two choices. She could sit there and say nothing, or she could say something. She gave the instructor a track. Isn't that great? You think there's going to be some suffering? It's very possible. Already has been. You say, well, I'm not suffering from my testimony for Christ at all. What does that mean? It's not good English, but you ain't got one. You say, my friends at work don't even know I'm a Christian. Oh, my. Look, folks, you start living for the Lord. You start knocking on doors and telling people about Christ. You start working on his body. There's going to be some suffering. This is the will of God. Several months ago, my wife and I were in Charlotte, and we went to the Billy Graham Library, and they had some videos there. One of them was when he was being interviewed by a godless man, Woody Allen. If you're old like me, you remember Woody Allen. These guys in front row don't have a clue who I'm talking about. And in the interview, he was talking about the Ten Commandments, and that's ridiculous, you know. And he talked about, so you mean that a man ought to marry a woman he's never had physical relationships with before he gets married? He said that'd be like buying a car without test driving it. Billy Graham said, that's right. God calls you for moral purity. Remember years ago, Dr. Bob III was on the Larry King show. Larry King was questioning me, do you mean the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ? He said, that's right. He's the only way. Well, the crowd loved that. You can imagine. Look, folks, you take a stand for Christ, and there's going to be some suffering. Let me give you the last one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're moving quickly to the end here. Hang in there. You're doing well. One more statement we know is the will of God, right? Salvation, Spirit-filled, sanctification. Those are all part of the will of God. Then he says we also need to be submissive, suffering. And here's the final one. And I had to cheat a little bit to get the S, all right? But it's the best I could do. Here it is. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Here's the last one. I'm sorry. Saying thanks. I had to have an S, all right? This is the will of God for us to be thankful. Now, I think it's interesting, and Pastor mentioned this the other day, I think in a private conversation, but it does not say for everything give thanks. You say, what's the difference? Well, my house burned down today. I am so happy. This is great. My house just burned down. Now, they'll put you in a padded room in a white coat, you know, like that. I think the idea is for in everything, you can say, God, I know you're sovereign. I know you're in control. You have a good plan for my life. And I thank you for what you're doing in my life. I think that's the idea here. In everything, being thankful. Hey, simple matter of fact is, folks, we are not naturally thankful. If you do what comes natural, what are you going to do? Gripe and complain. The will of God is to be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now, here are five or six things I've told you, folks, that I know are the will of God. Are you doing those things? Are you doing those things? Are you saved? Have you been born again by the blood of Christ? Are you being filled by the Spirit of God? Controlled by the Spirit of God? If not, you're not in the will of God. Are you being sanctified, made like Christ, purified? If not, you're not in the will of God. Are you submissive? Are you suffering for your testimony for Christ? Are you saying thanks? We need to be like David when he said in Psalm 143, teach me to do thy will. Now, you say, but man, Gary, I wanted to know about my life and what I'm supposed to be doing. Hey, here's my thought. You do what you know God wants you to do. These six things I've just given you, these are things we know are the will of God. You do those things. And I think some amazing things are going to take place in your life, and God is going to reveal his specific will to you. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. And in verse what was mentioned in prayer meeting yesterday, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Here it is. This is the message in a nutshell. You say, well, Gary, why didn't you give us the nutshell? It would be a lot less painful, but that's all. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what happens? He shall direct thy paths. And the thought is, folks, say, God, you have the right to rule and reign in every area of my life. I'm going to acknowledge that. And I'm going to obey in the areas that I know are the will of God. And if you do that, I believe God's going to show you his will. And one more verse and we're done. Psalm 34:7-4. This is great. Delight thyself also in the Lord. This is what I've been preaching on, these six things. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm not sure how far we can take that, but I do believe, folks, when you've done the six things I've talked about in doing the will of God, you're going to think like God. And the desires you have are going to be his desires. And he's going to give you his will. In conclusion, let me ask you, are you in the center of God's will for your life? I've mentioned six things. Number one, are you a child of God? That's where it all starts. Are you a child of God? Have you been saved? If you haven't been saved, hey, Christ loves you. He died for you to save your soul. He will save you today. If you will turn by faith to him, he will save your soul. That's God's will for your life. You say, Gary, I am saved. All right, are you spirit controlled? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to control your life? Are you being sanctified? Are you putting off the sin and becoming more like Christ? Are you submissive where God has put you? Are you suffering for your testimony for Christ? And is your life full of saying thanks? Folks, as I stand before you, I can tell you this is the will of God for your life. And I think often we don't know the specific will because we're not in line in the general will. And if you'll do the general will of God, I believe He'll reveal to you the specific will of God. Let's pray. Lord, these folks have listened so well today. And Lord, you know the need of every heart. And I pray that you would help us all to simply do the will of God. Oh God, help us to know your will and to do it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I wonder if this morning there might be someone here that would say, Gary, the Lord has spoken to my heart. And the first thing I need to do, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I need to become a child of God. I'm not sure of heaven, but I want to be. I want to become a child of God. I'd love to pray for you. I won't come to your seat. I won't embarrass you. But you say, Gary, you're speaking to me. I need to be saved. Just slip your hand up with mine, and I'll recognize it, put it right back. Is there one? Say, I know the will of God, and I need to be born again. Is there one? Very quickly. We won't tarry. Now, we talked about a multitude of other things this morning. I won't go through each one individually, but I wonder if today God has said to you, in this area, you're not doing the will of God. God has spoken to you in a specific way about an area in your life where you're not lined up with the known will of God, and you're saying this morning, I'm going to surrender in that area, and I'm going to get in line with the will of God. If God has spoken to you in that way this morning, I wonder if you just raise your hand. Hold it up. God has spoken to my heart in a specific way. Thank you. You may put your hand. Others, good. Praise the Lord. God has spoken to me in a specific way about His will, and I'm going to surrender this morning. Anybody else to join these 7 or 8? God has spoken to me this morning specifically, and I'm going to surrender. Are there others? Are there others? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Good. Others that would say, God has spoken to me. While people are raising their hand, I'm going to keep going. God has spoken to me specifically about an area of the will of God that I'm not obeying, and I'm going to surrender today. Slip it up. Hold it there for a moment. Will you obey God? Will you obey the Spirit of God? And put it right back down. Anyone else? Join these 7 or 8 or 9. Quickly. In a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I'm going to have the ladies play. Thank you. I see that hand. I surrender all. I surrender all. And folks, that's what we need to do. If God has spoken to you about a specific area in your life where you are not doing the will of God, now if it's salvation, we want to talk to you and take a Bible and help you to know you're saved. But these other 5 or 6 areas, I would encourage you to come and get on the altar, the place of sacrifice, the place of surrender, and say, God, I realize I'm not doing your will, and today I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering in this specific area of my life. Lord, help us as believers. If I don't know people's hearts, there may be somebody here who's not saved, they didn't raise their hand, they need to become a child of God. I pray that even this morning you would prick their heart, draw them to yourself, that they might become a child of God today, become a Christian. For these believers who've raised their hands, God, we thank you for how you've touched their hearts. You've spoken to them specifically. Now help them to respond and surrender to you, that you might help them be right in the middle of your will and know the will of God for their lives. You're standing together, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The ladies are playing, I surrender all. If you need to come, here's the altar. You say, I want to surrender. Put up the white flag. You said, God has spoken to me specifically. You come and you get in the altar and you spend time with the Lord. Will you surrender? You say, well, it's embarrassing. Well, folks, this is doing business with God. You come as the Lord leads. Torah says, I surrender all. Now, I know you don't have to come forward to make a decision, but I believe it strengthens it. This is a place of sweet communion with God. They're gonna finish playing the song, and we'll be done. You come if you need to come. Thank you. You may look this way. Appreciate your good attention this morning. I'm going to let the pastor know I let you out 5 minutes earlier than he usually does. So you are blessed. You're blessed. Great. Let's continue to pray for pastor and for preacher. He's supposed to go to the doctor this afternoon and find out what's going on. And we'll see you back here tonight. And let's just do the will of God, folks. Let's just do the will of God. My, what joy and happiness and peace there is in the center of the will of God. May the Lord bless you. I'm going to let my wife go. Go ahead, dear. I'm not going to pray. We've already prayed. We're done. If you're a visitor today, take your visitor's card by the Welcome Center there. We have a special thing for you. Thank you for being here this morning. The Lord bless you as you go.